Good morning. All right. So good morning. My name is Marcus Radich, as seen up here, and I'm from pageproof.com. And today I'm going to talk to you about if your idea is great, why your wireframe should suck. And hopefully by the end of this, you'll be convinced that this should be the case. So before we get into that, a little bit about us. PageProof is a fully encrypted cloud proofing and approval system. And what it is a tool that lets people take a document, whether it's a PowerPoint presentation, Word document, Photoshop file, PDF, and put that into a web browser. We just let people drag and drop, put in some email addresses. These might be people that are inside your company, outside your company, or across the other side of the world, and let them collaborate on that document. So they can put comments on there, and the big thing about it is that the whole thing is fully encrypted. We started work on this 18 months ago, and it started with Gemma and myself. Gemma sitting in the front here. And the team has grown to 9 people. And we actually came to market in June, so 10 weeks ago. And we went from zero to global inside that 10 weeks. We have customers in over 210 cities and 60 countries around the world inside 10 weeks. So the growth ramp, we thought would do that, but actually did that. So, right, so here we go. If your idea is great, your wireframe should suck. Just remember that. Start off with our own wireframes. So this is an 18 month crammed into 3 pictures. It started off with a very simple discussion I had with Gemma 18 months ago in January, came back from holidays with a great idea. Look at this. And up on the whiteboard went all these little things. Okay, we need this many customers inside 3 years. It needs to be able to do this. It needs to be fully encrypted. It needs to be. This is the idea. And from there, the middle picture is Gemma taking the idea and saying, okay, let's flesh this out a bit. So that's why there are sticky notes everywhere. And even in the digital age, if you go and see Gemma's desk, it's covered in sticky notes. So this is a good representation. And then the last image over there, which is 18 months later, 10 weeks ago, we launched the product. So I'm going to cover 5 stories. Hopefully you won't fall asleep. I'll be watching. First, we'll talk about how you locate the hard stuff in your idea. How do you track it down and actually pull that out and work on that first? Then we'll talk, for all the people who like talking, we're going to try and teach you to listen. And then talk a bit more, which you'll like. How we're going to sort of visualize the customers, understand what the customers look like, and literally picture them. We'll show you what we did there. Why design is important, and not just design of the product, design of everything that goes behind it. And then lastly, be yourself, which by nature we're all ourselves, but I'll talk about that when we get to it. So straight into the first story. Figure out the hard stuff. Now, this story is a story of loss and gain. Big loss and then massive gain. So figuring out what is tricky in your idea is actually quite hard because honesty has to float up. You really have to look at your idea and say, right, which part of this is hard, and don't do the, yeah, we'll do that later, don't worry, the engineers will figure that out. You need to actually bubble it up and work on it, and it forces you to have a brutal look at your idea. Because, I guess, we had a bit of a statement from the start, we said the world's first fully encrypted proofing and approval system. What's hard in that? Well, turns out there was a piece in there which really was quite devastatingly hard, actually. It was much harder than we thought that it was ever going to be. But that's okay, because we broke it down into 3 stages. The first thing we did is research and development. And I mean, you know, a lot of you will be engineers and work in teams, and you'll say, yeah, we've done all this, and it's true. But if you're a startup or you're a small team inside a larger organization who's trying to get an idea together, you may not have all of the information and tools. So you kind of have to go into this R&D stage. So we studied cryptography, keys, algorithms. You know, we had code examples. We had white papers, black papers. We had a glance at quantum theory because a apparently that's going to influence cryptography in the future. So we sort of had a look at a whole lot of things, and we pulled out some things that we really need to focus on. Okay, which algorithms are we going to look at, you know, which all these sorts of things, and we built some tests. So we said, here's the hard thing. Let's take some tests out and just write little tiny snippets of code to test these pieces, okay? And, you know, we'd do one that sort of just generated keys and then had the keys back inside a browser. Oh, yeah, that seems to work. Then there's a little bit over here that did another thing, et cetera. And over time, we validated a lot of the technical ideas, and we actually had to invent some of our own intellectual property. Now, come back to the intellectual property. Actually, it's dotted throughout this talk, so that'll come back. Just remember the intellectual property part. We then took those tests and we strung them together. Now, when you take, you know, generating keys this way, then decrypting and doing it, you can end up with a prototype. So we took our tests, the tests that worked, by the way, put them all together into a string of small programs, and we came up with a prototype in which we could demonstrate to whoever we needed to demonstrate, in here, out there. Okay, so it was rough, ready, command line, you know, rough. But the great thing about it was, you know, this was a 3-month process. And at the end of it, we had a beautiful Linux server, PHP, MySQL. We were sorted. Like, this is the thing. We're going to do it this way. And when we grow this thing to 20,000 people, 100 million users, whatever, we're just going to have more Linux servers. Well, turns out, we actually threw it all away. Yay. A couple of reasons for that. That was our wireframe. And our premise is that if your wireframes, you know, if your idea is great, your wireframe should suck, so you need to throw them away. And actually, it was the best thing that we could have done, because I'm an old school engineer. So I would sit there and say, yes, we're going to build servers. We're going to put things together. And then I thought, No, I don't want to be up at 3 a.m. when there's a big load on this thing, spinning up servers. Forget it. No way. I'm over it. So we didn't want the prototype code in our final product either. So turns out this was the best thing that we could have done. Throw the prototype away. Throw away the wireframe. Let's start again. We had a proven concept. So the learnings from that were, we took our tests that I talked about originally into the prototype. There was some really unique technology in there. So we actually engaged AJ Park, which is an IP law firm, and said, can you just find if there's anything in the world like this? And they came back after a long time and said, no, this is unique, actually. And so we filed for the patent, which was great. We then also sort of figured out, you know, the platform that we wanted to deliver on wasn't really going to be our thing. So I was actually at Codemania 2 years ago. I was kind of walking out, and I heard this Azure word sort of float past my head. And I actually went, ah. And I walked into the room and sat in the presentation. And there was a guy there, can't remember his name, sorry. He showed all the auto-scaling and all the magic. And I bought in big time, came running back to the team, who are all sitting there working on Linux servers and PHP. I'm like, right, abandon. We're going to use Azure. And there's a team of people. We had a couple of Microsoft engineers in there, but everyone's like, okay, this guy's on crack. That was okay, I wasn't. But it turned out that we ended up, the scaling and the underlying security of the platform itself is not done by us. Okay, it's done by Microsoft. Thanks, Microsoft. So that kind of took that whole problem away, and we could focus on product. And then it kind of led into a bit more, because we work with the Microsoft team, we learned a bit more about Azure, and we've really done a lot of work there. We sort of have a great partnership there, to the point where we have this account with 356,738 followers on it, sending out that tweet a few weeks ago. So yeah, and Azure scaled to all the load that came in, and everything was good. So the partnership that we sort of got from there has gone a bit further than just, hey, we're a platform provider, just throw your stuff on here. And we have an ongoing relationship at this level, which is great. Okay, so sometimes you do have to throw your wireframes away for better things to happen. And don't be afraid to do so. Just remember, it's code. You can zip it and just put it somewhere else. You can get it back. It's all right. But throw things away. It's a good thing to do. second story is about talking, listening and talking. So, when you come up with an idea, be it inside your organization or again, out as a startup doing your own thing, you've got to go through a validation process. A lot of people will just jump in and start writing code and show you what they've done. And that has its place, absolutely. But what we found talking to a few people was validate. That is the most important thing. Now, while your friends and family are fantastic, I'll tell you exactly what they're going to say about your idea. Because they love you, right? So they're going to say, it's great, what an awesome idea, don't know what you're talking about, but awesome. So the best place to get validation is with customers or people you see as being customers. Again, whether they are internal teams in your organization or they're out in the market. And what we found was you can call people and say, hey, can I come and interview with you? I've got some ideas I want to talk to you about. And usually people are okay with that. But you've got to be prepared. You've actually got to put together some questions and you've got to make sure those questions are not about your idea. Okay? Because if you throw your idea straight out to a potential customer, they will help you form it and improve it and change it. So what you need to do is go out with some questions that ask them about what they do in this space and just listen. Listen to what they have to say, again, talking and listening. And don't talk about your idea at all. Now, we actually couldn't talk about our idea because if you've done anything with the patent office, you can't talk about your patent idea for 3 months after you decide to get into it. You cannot let anybody know because it can invalidate the patent itself before it even gets filed. So we would go into customers and say, okay, what do you do about approving a document with 17 people? They'd say, oh, this, that, okay, how secure is that, right? And all these answers came flying in. And the last question, they would come back to us and say, so what are you doing? We'd say nothing, can't talk. There's a big cone of silence drops over you. And we just said, look, we're in the middle of filing a patent. Unfortunately, we can't talk about it. So use that. They don't know, it's okay. Another thing you need to do, I guess, when you're getting this feedback is don't get defensive about the things they tell you. Because again, you're going to go out with your precious idea, you're going to get feedback from them, and in your head, you've got idea over here, feedback from a potential customer coming in here, and it's going to start conflicting because they're going to say things that you don't want to hear. Forget it, just write it down. Don't flinch, don't get all defensive, because what we discovered was that those pieces that you hear are gold, absolute gold. They really, really help. So just note it all down. And get on the phone. If you are a bit shy about talking to customers, don't be, because customers really like, especially if they've got a pain point, someone ring up and saying, hey, can we come interview? We've got some ideas. I just want to talk to you about this process. We didn't really hear anyone say, no, go away. It was, sure, it might be next week or week after. Hey, I'm busy. We'll arrange something. Ring me back. It's fine. Most people are quite happy to give you some time to talk about what they are doing. Again, focus on that. Now, you'll meet some people along the way as you do this that are awesome. They click with you. You just know. You can like, o this person's great. They kind of get it. They're doing what we're doing. Note those people down because they're great beta testers. They're great people to sort of talk about product later. So, you know, you can make some good relationships just by going out and talking to potential customers about what they do in the space of your idea. Validate. Then you need to listen. So again, I'm talking about what we did. We took all this information from our validation, and you straight away find there's a whole lot of things you need to research. So we jumped on the web, and we're doing searches. And that's great, because search engines give you back what you ask for, but they don't broaden your experience and show you things that you don't know. It's coming to things like this, Ignite, Codemania, etc., where you will learn about things because people are bringing to you new keywords, for want of a better analogy. So you can learn from these things, take them away, and they extend what you think you know or you don't know. And the example of that was the Codemania for me 2 years ago, walking past that room, about to eject myself from the conference because I had meetings and important stuff to go and do, turns out not as important as walking into that room and listening to that Azure talk. Game changing, totally changed the whole thing. And I had to get my credibility back with the team because they thought I was crazy, but that's okay. But we, after people sort of looked at the Azure information, we sat and as a team, we sat and we looked at videos, Channel 9, Azure Friday, all that sort of thing. So as a team, every day after lunch, we watched these videos for months and months to learn more about the platform we were going to be looking into. And we'd have a discussion after each video and say, so that piece, what did you think? Azure Batch, could we use that? Could we not? Okay, what about this? And it was really good. So we learned as a team together, which was really cool. Now, meetup.com, it's not a replacement for Ashley Madison. If you don't know what it is, I suppose most people will know, but meetup.com, I'll stop with that joke. Meetup.com, if you don't know what it is, it's great for, you can go there, create an account, put your interests in. So you might say, C-sharp developer, fluffy dolls, and something else. And in the area that you are in, it will alert you to any meetups that are happening, individuals getting together and with the same interest in talking about these things. And definitely worthwhile. You get people like-minded doing slightly different things, and you can sort of all talk together. So it's a really cool one as well. But also get outside of your comfort zone. Go to things you wouldn't go to. So Gemma and I, last year, went to KiwiCon. Who's heard of KiwiCon? Any hands? Few people. Yep, cool. Right, KiwiCon's super cool. But when we looked at it, we were like, man, okay, there are white hat hackers, black hat hackers, there are people who want to break things, people who want to defend from things, and it's a hacker conference, right? But, you walk into KiwiCon, and there's some dudes over there with a laptop looking at you. You don't know if they're writing an email to your mum or they're hacking your phone. not sure. And then you get to the entrance of the conference, a room, and there's a roll of tinfoil to wrap your credit cards in your phone. And you just go, okay, cool. But it turns out everyone there is awesome. They are just such great people, and it's worth going to if you're into security and things. Definitely go. Definitely go. Outside our comfort zone, but we did it. So, going back to the talking thing again, you've listened, you've talked originally to validate, you have listened at conferences and got a bit more information. Now you go back out again and start finding people who are really super interesting and talk a bit more. And we've had some pretty uncanny stuff go on. So, we're talking very early on during our test phase. We had some code that we were working with and we're doing some really interesting things. And one of our engineers is like, I wish there was someone who's like the best security and encryption person on the planet. I said, well, have a look. So into search engine, this guy. Okay, cool. Oh, there's his email address. Sent an email. 2 hours later, there's a reply. Hey, I'm actually in Auckland at the moment. Got a spare couple of hours tomorrow afternoon. Join me for a coffee. So we went and met with this guy and talked for 2 hours. It was insane. So just imagine we didn't send the email, right? So we got 2 hours just by asking. Of course, he could have come back and said, sorry, I'm in Florida. Yeah, all right, that's fine. But no harm in asking. BizSpark, because we were heading down the Azure road, we kind of thought, oh, we'll sign up to BizSpark. That's turned out to be fantastic. The local Microsoft team, you probably guys already all know them, but we're sort of new to this, to the Microsoft family, if you like. Completely approachable, ring them up, talk to them, email them, go visit them. Great, great bunch of people. Wide industry knowledge, so that's really good. But you're going to need some external advice. So if you can get hold of advisors working in your field, or even people that are outside your field, definitely worthwhile. So an example for us was one of our advisors came from Vend, and they've done a lot, right? So it was quite handy for us to have an advisor from Vend kind of join us on a sort of casual basis. And he would say things to us like, we were working on putting chat into our product, and we were playing around with a whole lot of things, and he just sort of rocked in and looked and said, intercom. We're like, oh yeah, carried on doing what we were doing, running to bumps and roads, and he just sat there and was like, guys, intercom. We're like, okay, we better listen to him. All right, let's have a look at this intercom thing. Turns out, best thing that we did, from support and stats and management point of view, it's just been absolutely awesome for us. So, you know, the intercom side of it has been really, really big. But if you want more from, if you people like to help, so there's no reason to reach out. I suppose just to finish off this section, identify the people that you want to advise you or have a chat with, a coffee, reach out. It's scary doing that. I'd like some help from you. Are you free? It's not too hard. Give it a go. Okay. This is a short story. Okay. This is about picturing your customers. This is about sort of who they are or who you think they are. So for us, during this time, we were heavily into watching the TV series Suits, which is, if you don't know, it's about a law firm that does all sorts of crazy things. And when we actually looked at it, there inside there we had, you know, senior executives, we had support people, IT team, board members. There's like a big range of personalities in that TV show. We all knew the names of the people, right? So we decided, hey, that's cool. We'll build the profiles around the names of those people in the show, because when we say, oh yeah, Donna will look at that, we all knew exactly who Donna was, right? And it really helped us whenever we're doing anything in the product to actually visualize who that end customer is going to be. So we kind of went crazy on this, and we actually built like a page on every single one of those people. So I've sort of blurred out the text because it really doesn't matter to you guys. It was really internal for us. But so yeah, if you're thinking that your eyesight's shot, it's not. So over on the, that's the left, isn't it? Yeah. Those are the five people that we picked out of the show. They had different types of personality. The Benjamin character was kind of an IT, and you know, Jessica's one of the senior execs. So there's a good mix. And we wrote about each person. So what does Jessica do? That was a description of her day to day. What she did in her job, who reported to her, who what she did, what she liked doing, etc. Over on the side is her age, her kind of salary band, if you like, you know, her family structure, how she likes to sort of, you know, style and that sort of thing. And then down the bottom there, where is she? It's in the social media space, or in even to do with, like, she loves email. She's on Twitter, but just to look. Facebook is completely personal, not work-related, etc. So we built all this stuff up, and it's completely fictional. We had the car and an image of the persona. So this was really, really, and it took us quite a while. And as you can see from the date at the top, we did that August 4th, 2014. So we did that really early on, okay? Because we ran everything we did past all these personalities. So when you're putting together a blog article, or putting together an email in your system, or whatever your system does, or whatever your product does, just make sure you're talking to the right profile. So for example, when we wrote blog articles, we would say, okay, we're going to write a blog article about security encryption. It's going to be targeted for Benjamin, but if Donna or Harvey looks at it, they'll be able to get a bit of an idea if they skim read it. So that totally set up for us how to write it, what language to use. Okay, it's really, really important. And for PageProof, it meant quite a few things. So when you visualize a customer, you're essentially sitting in their head looking out, and you can think like they do, okay? Really, really cool. So for example, we know that Jessica is not necessarily going to, you know, if she receives an email telling her to follow these 12 steps to get something done, because she's kind of senior exec, really busy, time poor, just needs to move on, she's going to get to step three and say, you know what, I don't like this system, okay? So we made sure that when the emails go out of PageProof and go to the sort of the profile that we're kind of expecting it to arrive in, it's got the right sort of level of detail in it, okay? So it's working from the customer's view and how your product works. Right, bit of a longer story. Everybody okay so far? Good, lots of nods, okay. So design matters. Now, design to us is not pixels on a page or pixels on a screen or whatever. Design is not just the graphic design. It's not just the pixels. It's all about how the user experience works. How does it move? How does it react to when I interact with it? It's the design of the continuous integration system. It's the design of the Git structure or VSO structure. It's the design of the support. It's the design of a lot of things. It's not just how the thing looks. It's how everything works. Okay? So let's go through a few things to do with design. So if your wireframes are pixel perfect, you've clearly spent way too much time on them. Clearly. I'll give you a concrete example. During this phase of going through, you know, building this product, I've been helping a few small other companies with a few bits and pieces. I'm just like one step ahead of where they're at, you know. And I met with this team of four young guys. They were 17 to 21 age range. And they had this idea for an iPhone app. And you should see the excitement in their face. We've got this idea for an iPhone app. It's so awesome. It's okay, yep, cool. Right, where are you up to? We've done this. And out they lay these A3s of all of these screens from there to there. Beautiful detail. Every shadow, every pixel, everything was perfect. And I was like, it's impressive, boys. How does this bit work? I don't know. So what happens when you go here and do that? I don't know. Someone's going to have to figure that out. We don't know. Okay, what about here? Yeah, we think you can do this, but we're not sure. Anyway, there's a lot of bits that were not, there's nothing behind the beauty. Okay? And all I'll tell you to this day, that iPhone app is not done. Okay? I don't even know where they're up to. In fact, I think they're kind of disbanded. They spent six weeks on the design of the look. They could have spent that time on how it works, where, etc. So that's just a little concrete example. Design will come. Design is about, you know, you've got to do your wireframe to get your skeleton right, and then you can kind of, it's very gruesome, but you can kind of then start putting the body on it afterwards. The skeleton has to be right. If the skeleton's wrong and you start applying kind of, you know, things to it, you've got to work on your wireframe and be prepared to throw it away. Now, a good tool that we used was PowerPoint for making those wireframes come to life a little bit. And some of you may have used other tools. You can do it up in HTML if you want to. You can use other things. But essentially taking your wireframes and having them in different slides and then living up buttons, just putting buttons in, so when people touch this, it jumps to this slide and it sort of makes the wireframe feel like it moves and it works, and that's the way you get people buying into the thing that you're doing. Really powerful. Introducing the original PageProof logo. So, isn't that cool? So, this happened because we're filling out the BizSpark application, right? So you get a web page, says name of the company, description, da-da-da, next page, da-da-da, next page, upload your logo, asterisk. Ooh. Quick, Gemma, you've got the best handwriting. So we did this. And we have this in a nice Perspex frame, and we've got it stored. Because it was our first logo. And we actually had to go to the point, because I think a couple of pages on was, do you have a Twitter account? Yes, we do now. And you'll see in the background, we took the original photograph, and we made it. Yes. Now, today, we had two followers then. We've got a lot more now. But at the time, before we launched, we finished it, and we got the finished page. So the design comes, right? It's something you can work on. And it's even changed from this now. It's slightly different again. But you've got to start somewhere. This is a PowerPoint wireframe. PageProof does not look like this. Clear? Good. But this is our original wireframe from a little bit after the logo design. And even though that's kind of random and there's bits everywhere, every piece on that page, if you touched it, it went to another slide showing you kind of how that would work. And when you use PageProof, it sort of follows in the same design patterns as this wireframe. And we use this wireframe to present to people, to show them what we're doing, and kind of a lot of things. And it was a movable sort of wireframe. It didn't take us long to build. People got the idea. People got behind us. So wireframes are good. But as I said, you do need to throw them away, right? And it kind of sucks, so that's good. It's a good thing. When PageProof.com came live. It was at the beginning of the year after we were clear from the patent, thou shall fail if you tell anyone, which is actually really difficult because you like tell your partner and everything. It's like, don't tell your partner. What? Okay. This was our placeholder page. And as you can see, it was pretty straightforward, pretty basic. We could say the word encrypted finally. I think this was January, yeah, Gemma? Yeah. And then today, the design kicks in, and this is what it looks like today, which it's up for 3 best awards. We're announced as finalists. So, you know, it's a great design. A lot of people love it. So, moving away from the pixels, let's have a look at systems. You've got to design your systems. Now, of course, we have, I give the impression that we're perfect at this. No. But this is what we've learned. We've got a bit of scar tissue. So I'll share that. You know, you've got to question all the things that you're doing. You know, are you using Visual Studio Online? Are you using GitHub? Are you using a mix of the two? You know, are you going to have a dev server? Are you going to have a test server? How is this all going to work? The thing is, you need to wireframe that up. And I literally mean, you get some paper or whatever, and you design it with your team. Don't just have someone as the architect. Bring the team together. Everyone talk about it. No, if I want to do something, I have to do this. Okay, we incorporate that, throw that piece of paper away, let's wireframe that bit, get it right before you start creating repositories and stuff, because they kind of get messy once people start committing, and then you go, no, we need to change it. There are probably some Git technicians in here who can tell me, that's easy, good on you. So that's a pretty important thing. And, you know, when your team understands what the design is, they know where to put their code, how to commit it, how to do all that sort of thing. It's a good thing. Similarly, design your support, right? Because if you don't design your support, your customers will design it for you. And then you might not like the way that they come and deal with you. So if you put that in place, then your customers will come to you via the channels you've designed. If they're well designed, the support will just work beautifully. Okay, put that in early, get it done the right way. And think of really simple things that you might not do at a startup phase. I mean, you know, you go live and suddenly a whole lot of other questions come up. There's a bug. Okay. We now go invoke hotfix procedure 1. And everyone on our team knows exactly what to do to hotfix a problem. We don't even really need to talk. We just know exactly what to do. If you don't know how to hotfix something and you have to sort of magic it up after you're live, I think that all of your wristbands and watches, heart rate monitors will go up and everyone's panicking and then, did it go live? Did you remember to put it back into development? Who did that? Right, figure all that stuff out first. Design it. Again, wireframe it. And, you know, it's helped us big time because we get stuff done. We're a small team. We're 9 people, right? And Jim and I are co-founders, and we've got a development team and an infrastructure guy. But we get stuff done really quickly. So last week, we rolled out a huge big update for our workflows and how workflows work. And then this week, actually this morning, we rolled out PageProof integration with Microsoft OneDrive. Okay? Just happens to be on the day of my talk. So that was a matter of like, we just do small things and we iterate really quickly, and we can because people can focus on what they do, everyone knows the system, so we know how to get stuff out, okay? Did I click? I did now. Yeah, so the takeaway from that is, you know, design your systems early, set up your repositories early, don't sort of let people start making repositories on their machines and then all of a sudden, oh, we've got to bring it all together now. Do that early. Figure out your support. Intercom, really early, figure out your support. Not plugging intercom at all, but it worked for us. Build the support into your product. Build the support into your culture. It's an important thing. We have a culture of open. And, you know, I think Laura Bell's here somewhere. Laura's over there. Laura told us, don't hide things from your team. If you've got things going on, show them in Slack or HipChat or whatever it is that you've got going on. Then the whole team's aware of it. Okay, so you've got errors coming in, a security note or whatever it is. Make sure everyone can see it. Don't be afraid of that. Now, Slack, for example, we use Slack, you can choose whatever you like. It's really key. Every time there's a new customer sign up, bing, everyone's bing, 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 and everyone really gets a kick out of new signups. It just happens all day, and it's really cool. It keeps the team motivated. When a support request comes in, it comes into our support channel, okay, and everyone in the team sees that support request. There's nothing, I mean, you might say, well, that'd be distracting. Yeah, you can mute it and things. But when engineers see what customers are asking for, it's really good because everyone's sort of on the same page. You're not having a product person walking in and saying, customers are telling me we want this. And the engineers go, yeah, right, okay, sure. But if they see the request coming in, there's no denying it, right? So, yep, design all that stuff up. Design does matter, and it isn't just about how something looks. Design's about how the whole thing works. Last section. And then it's lunchtime, right? Okay. Figure out who your company is. Now, this is really hard, and this one might not have a wireframe element to it, but this is something that we learnt later on. Every company has an amazing culture from the outside, right? So, you know, you are not Vend, you are not Xero, you are not PageProof, you are you. And, you know, you'll hear stories of these cultures. They have beer kegs and they've got ping pong tables and they've got all these things, and you look at what you're doing, you're like, we don't have any of that, we're not cool. It's not true, right? What you do is really, really, really important. And we've even thought about things like, you know, should we have all the things those other companies have? And no, it's not actually the case. For us, we have a bit of a video game culture in our office, because most of the team like playing video games, so we kind of rolled in an arcade machine, and we have a Wii that people get sick on, you know, and that stuff works for us, but it's not what will work for your team. But, you know, we look at some of these companies, especially on social media, you see all the good stuff. You know, oh, today we had a ping pong competition, today we had this, we had beer drinking, da da da. You don't see all the stuff, all the arguments and all the turmoil and all the ups and downs. So I think if you're a startup, particularly for startups, when you look at those companies on there from the outside, they all look fantastic, but you know, every one of them has stuff going on. So, you know, figure out your own stuff. Figure out what your team likes, and in fact, get the team to sort of design it for you, and in some ways wireframe up pretty much how your culture works. And part of that, I guess, is like, how do you deal with distractions? And this is just one example of what a thing that our team kind of, for some reason, we got into this whole left shark, right shark thing. I don't know if everyone saw that meme. No, okay, that's all right. We were trying to stop people sort of barging in when we were hardcore doing some code, right? So we invented this. And it's a chair that we used to wheel out into the middle of our corridor. And you'd see people sort of come in, because they're coming in just to have a chat. They come across the chair and go, the hell is that? And they sort of look up, and they turn around and walk away. It's cool. We weren't saying, go away, we're too busy. We're just saying, we're in this mode. And that kind of we had some people come through because stuff was super important. But this was really, really, really effective. It works so well. And just filtered out what we didn't need to know. So, you know, another thing that we learned about Be Yourself is, you know, you're putting together this wireframe, your team is putting on the body parts. Yeah, gruesome, sorry. But there are some things that you don't have the skills for. You want to outsource that. So you just have to make sure that when you outsource something that's a core component, I'm not saying don't outsource, I'm saying be very careful about it. We did some of this and it worked out well, but there are some things that we would have changed. Make sure you spec exactly how that piece of code or whatever it is that third party is doing for you is going to bolt into your wireframe, how it's going to fit onto the skeleton so it looks like it's part of your product. Okay, think of that gruesome analogy. But it's the only way I can really think of it. And you do that by just defining all these things up front. Talk about, you know, we're using this, we're doing that, and get it written down. Really important, make sure you have the copyright ownership of that outsourced piece attributed to your company. Not important when you're a startup and you're just trying to get stuff done, race down the road a bit and you're successful and someone's looking at you, might want to invest in you and things, and the first thing they're going to do is go into the copyright notices and say, right, who owns all this code? Hey, what's this? Oh, that was done by that company. Okay, did you get a copyright signed? No. Can you go and do that for me, please, now? So now you've got to go and find that developer and get them to sign a copyright over to you, you know, 2.5 years down the track. So get all that copyright stuff all sorted out. It's utter gold later on. Trust me. Okay. So here we are on the last slide. Bit of a journey. What we found was, look, if your idea is awesome, no matter how bad your wireframes are, no matter how bad any of those wireframes, whether it's design or whatever, if your idea is awesome, people will want to come and work with you, they'll want to talk to you. It's not all about how your wireframes look. They can suck, and things can still turn out really, really well. So thank you very much. And any questions? Silence.